The following is brought to you in association with and from a proud partner of the Shining Wizards Network. Entertainment here.
This episode of Wrestling Night in Canada is dedicated to the memory of Brett Wayne Sawyer and Patty Valiancourt.
You're listening to Wrestling Night in Canada on the Shining Wizards Network with your hosts, Matt Copper, Dustin Maruca, and Snowy White.
Horns, everyone. Welcome to another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruca.
Hey, guys, what's going on?
The leaves are falling. There's a chill in the air. Or they're supposed to be.
It's fucking plus 24.
Yeah, it's October 1st as we speak, and it's plus 24 degrees outside. Like, come on. I've already switched over to flannels and toques. I don't want to have to go back to baseball hats and sleeveless T-shirts.
All right.
It's not that time of the year. It's supposed to be drinking apple cider and wearing sweaters. Like,
right. Well, if it's any consolation, here in Canada, Timmy Ho's, Tim Hortons, has a lot of pumpkin spice everything.
Mm-hmm.
So they're
so does McDonald's.
Kind of, yeah, so they're
there's
kind
also
of jumping
pumpkin
on
spice
that.
Beer out now, and
I don't know if I'd want
really?
That.
Yeah. That does not sound good.
Great.
No, I don't imagine it would be. But I'll probably pop over to Timmy's or whatever and grab myself a pumpkin spice latte because I know. Hey, you know what? I don't care about the stereotypes. It tastes good.
Yeah. And you know what?
I'll admit, I'm the whitest white man ever. So it's
like, you're white.
Yeah.
And
white.
It's October 1st as we speak.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite time of year.
Like, yeah, it's, me too.
You know, it's not too hot. It's not too cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's the spooky season. But Matt, you and I were big horror film fanatics and that. And like
true.
Halloween, Free Comic Book Day, and Record Store Day are my three favorite days. And mm-hmm. we're getting
there.
Really excited.
Yep. Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, before we get a little bit further, since I'm mentioning that it is October 1st, every October, your cool Uncle Snowy has a little tradition, and he's been doing it for about maybe a dozen years now,
mm-hmm.
The October Horror Movie Challenge.
Oh, yeah.
Where basically the idea is to watch 31 horror movies throughout the month of October, all leading up to Halloween.
Mm-hmm.
Now, someone listening to this might be saying, well, Snowy, I love horror movies. No problem. But do you have a life? Okay, like, and I'm not being sarcastic. But if you have a job, if you have a life, a girlfriend, marriage, you know, like, if you have things going on,
it becomes considerably more difficult.
That's the challenge, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The challenge is to make sure every day you put an hour and a half to 2 hours aside for that step in the challenge. And it's tougher than you might think.
It is. Know? Like, I've never been able to successfully do it myself.
No,
either.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah, it just so happens this time of year I'm seeing someone and I need to prioritize my time around that. So,
that's another thing. There have been some nights in October where I had the option. No, I want to watch a couple horror movies for the challenge. The missus is looking pretty good upstairs, you know what I mean? So it's like, and as much as I love horror movies, that always loses out in the end. So it's actually tougher than you think. But your cool Uncle Snowy here, I'm throwing down the gauntlet. You know, it'll be a couple days into October by the time you guys hear this. So pick it up now. I'm throwing it down. Join me. It's always a lot of fun.
Yeah, or just if you have to prioritize being with your significant other, you could at least ask if you can wear the Jason mask or the Michael Myers mask or for our wrestling fans out there, a fiend mask maybe, you know, brings whole new meaning to the term let me in. But, but you know.
I'm coming back to bread, brother.
There you are.
Yeah, had to throw a little Bray Wyatt tribute in there again. So yeah.
And there's a lot of horror movies these days, good like PG horror that – like, you might be thinking, like, hey, Snowy, like, my wife, girlfriend, she doesn't really dig, like, the brutal horror that you do.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good, you know, easily digested for the uninitiated. We just last night we sat down and we watched the movie Megan.
Oh yeah, yeah. I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah. And like that's a good date night. That's something that she can digest and all that. Because Mrs. Snowy, like, she's gone through 3 decades plus of just low budget gore and fucking torture porn and just shit that she just is done with.
Megan's that movie about that AI doll.
Yes.
Yeah. Where it's always like, it's Megan, but it's spelled with a 3 instead of an
right.
E. Yeah. Okay,
right.
Yeah. I watched that a couple months ago. The only part that really made me cringe was when she was like chasing through that boy in the woods.
Right.
That was like the scariest part of the movie.
Well, when you get chased through by a doll through the woods, I'd shit myself.
And she pulls off your ear and then chases you to the point of getting hit by a pickup truck. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the doll who did it.
But it's something that everyone can watch. Like, this is kids' horror. Like,
Basically, yes.
You know, like, I swear to God, parents today coddle the kids when it comes to entertainment.
It seems that way, yes.
And, like when I was a kid, like, man, I was staying up late to watch The Exorcist.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking single digits. I love The Omens, The Carries. We moved into the 80s. My parents took me to see the first Alien film with a gut burster and everything.
Yeah.
And all that. But I don't know. Now it's like, I don't know if I want my kid watching Batman. It's pretty violent. Oh, shut up, Karen.
Which Batman?
Jesus Christ.
Wait, which Batman? There's so many Batmans.
Yeah,
that,
I know, like, but they're, you know,
like,
to the wrong person.
Like Michael Keaton Batman and Christian Bale Batman are two completely different universes.
Definitely, but believe it or not, the Michael Keaton, I had this one friend that, you know, went on to have kids and all that, and she was like, I don't want my kid watching Batman. And it was around that time. It's like, okay.
Well, whatever.
All right.
There's worse things out there. Like,
yeah.
Next thing you know, some parents aren't going to want their kids watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. But
yeah.
Well, I mean, there was that controversy about the first movie and from 1990 being too dark, and then that they kiddied up the second one. But we're getting way off topic here.
Getting way off. Well, no, because it's October and I'm going to be talking about this.
If this is
on radio,
if this was a horror movie or podcast, maybe we could keep going on about this. We should start a second podcast just talk about movies.
That's just pop culture in general. Yeah. I would definitely be down for that.
Movie night in Canada.
Movie night in Canada.
That works. That works. Patent pending.
Yep.
As you also heard, speaking of radioactive metal, as you heard off the top of the hop, you might not have been very familiar with the name Patty Valancourt. Now, for our crossover listeners, our longtime radioactive metal listeners, will remember my former co-host, Rock. Mm-hmm. Rock Valancourt. Mm-hmm. Well, Patty is his wife, who recently passed away.
Mm-hmm.
And, it was rough. It was definitely a gut punch.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. And so we just want to give all the best to Rock. We're so sorry. We know Patty was just an amazing person. And will forever be in our hearts as well. You also heard we lost one Brett Wayne Sawyer as well. And no, Matt, being the horror film fanatic you are, wasn't one of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre Sawyer family or anything. But he was the brother of Buzz Sawyer. So maybe that's kind of ballpark to the Leatherface family because Buzz was kind of, you know, he was one of those, like, Buzz and Brett Wayne were like the Pritchards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd take a bullet for Tom, you'd put one in Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with the Sawyer.
Okay.
Everyone loved Brett Wayne Sawyer. Buzz was kind of, he was not a person. He was not a very, very reputable person.
Okay.
Shall we say. But Brett, his younger brother was definitely one of the nicer guys, well, more respected guys. His claim to fame would have been all his hard work in the 80s in the territory days from the Pacific Northwest to Georgia to Crockett. I believe he did a stint in like Mid-South, Mid-Southern. He was a staple, you know, of of the 80s territories and the After Mags. Like, you know, like I said, everyone had good stuff to say about Brett Wayne Sawyer. So, yeah. Too bad. Once again, Wrestling Night in Canada, we give our condolences to the Sawyer and the Valiant Court family. That's too bad. Mm-hmm. But we're not going to dwell.
Nope.
We got a lot to talk about here.
Yeah, and Wrestle Dream, as we speak, starts in an hour and a half. So we got
another thing.
Yeah.
That's another thing. The reason why we wanted to show up here at your beautiful home studio, Matt, to hammer this out before Wrestle Dream.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of buzz. There's a lot of talk.
Fair amount.
About someone apparently just today has become a free agent.
Well, by the time this hits the air, we'll know for sure.
But for our sake and for everyone that enjoys listening to us.
And he's a good old Canadian boy.
He's a good old Canadian boy, so... We have to talk about Edge.
Mm-hmm. Well, formerly Edge.
Edge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That would be first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Adam Copeland can't be called Edge.
No, that is owned by WWE.
He shows up and they introduce him as Corner.
Okay, that's been played. The side.
or Adam the Edge Copeland.
I think the Edge is taken by U2.
By
guitarist.
Dude from U2.
Yeah.
The reason why.
Hang on,
why Vince. The reason
Adam
why
Impact.
Vince.
Adam Impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's well. I could have told you that. Yeah. I watched Adam Impact Wrestling.
Yeah, we watched. We did the watch along for that one tag team match.
Here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Adam
yeah.
Impact and Christian Cage versus what was it? Don Callis
and
Rick
Martel.
That was
so it'll
it.
Be
yeah.
Adam Impact versus Johnny Impact.
Oh no! He's Johnny TV. Remember?
Oh God! Maybe, so, another one.
Can they call? Can they even call him Adam Impact? Adam Elite? No, that's too on the nose.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just call him Adam. I don't.
I don't know. How about Adam Copeland?
Yeah, I know. Is Adam Copeland really a wrestling name, though?
Okay, but that was going to be my point about all this. The WWF, they give them their own name in which they own the copyright.
Yeah,
and then that wrestler, when they do leave the WWF, WWE now, and they go to the competition, they can't take that name with them.
No.
But what
and
if?
And they do lose value.
Unless it's already their real name,
right.
Matt and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah,
but,
or they own it.
Yeah.
But what if Edge secretly bought the rights to Edge?
I don't think WWE would sell him that.
Yeah.
They have way too much merchandise to make money off of for that.
And
so.
when he went to the WWF... He was still super indie guy, and he was in no position to make demands.
No.
This is Edge, but here, this is your name, but we own it. Go out there, have fun, make us money. But when you leave, you can't take it with us.
Yeah, when you leave, we still have to sell the merchandise. And
right.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's it's kind of like when Test was first released from... WWE, and he showed up on TNA, and he just went by his real name, Andrew Martin. It felt weird.
Yeah, like, and who cared?
Yeah.
No one, you know, because it wasn't the same. Now, for the quote unquote smart wrestlers or the guys that just don't care, it doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But for Adam Copeland to make an impact.
Maybe, you know? Maybe he'll be Sexton Hardcastle again. Who knows? Who knows?
What I would like to see in his first feud, someone, you know, on the mic bad mouthing him, hey, Sexton.
Yeah.
You know, like, that would be cool. That's something I would write.
MJF would definitely call him.
Oh, he would
that.
Have a field day
but,
with that.
You, like, something tells me that one of his first feuds is definitely going to be involving Christian Cage.
In some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because there's the history there. They were brothers, and then they weren't for some reason.
Yeah.
Even though we all know they're not real brothers in real life.
Even though the match now wouldn't be that good if we got Edge and Christian and the Hardys one more time, just for nostalgia.
Yeah. Like,
I'd watch that.
That would be one of those matches where, like, as soon as the bell rings, you'd see, like, Matt Hardy and Edge just in the ring together face-to-face for the first time since, what, like, 2005, maybe?
Yeah.
I'm probably way off on that, but my point being, it's been a minute.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, that would be one of those matches where like the fans would start chanting "This is awesome" before either man has touched each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's they do that just to irritate.
Even though we've seen this exact same thing 20 years ago many times over.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but because if this happens, if Edge does show up, we're gonna get Hardy's Edge and Christian one more time, guaranteed.
Yeah, you'd think so. Like, that all depends if Edge comes in as a heel.
Yeah,
but
or like my prediction. Darby wins tonight.
Because it's in Seattle. Yeah.
Darby Allin retains. Christian blames Luchasaurus, starts slapping him.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus starts beating down Christian. Metalingus hits.
Yeah, because that's another thing. WWE does not own the rights to that song by Alter Bridge. Well, they have their own remixed version of it that has Edge's You Think You Know Me stinger at the beginning.
Right, yeah.
Adam, but, You Think You Know Me. Yeah. Oh, God.
That's a little no. I'm just gonna say no.
Well, I don't know. MJF and Adam Cole are called Better Than You, Baby, whatever.
Yeah.
So I could see them calling.
But that's supposed to be a comedy tag team, like a little, and their finishing move is the double clothesline. So it's I don't know. I guess we'll see, but. I don't think we'll be seeing any 5-second poses or
No. Are we putting the horse before the cart here? Because he has to show up.
Yeah.
Are we could be just getting excited.
Yeah. We could be, but like all signs seem to be pointing that way because Adam Copeland has been removed from WWE's internal roster, which is like
and the SmackDown intro.
Yeah, that's yeah. SmackDown intro as well. So
that's the hint.
And with the main event being Christian and Darby. It's kind of
you'd want to end the show with a big name,
and if to send the fans home happy, if Darby wins and then Lucha starts beating on Christian, have Edge come out.
Yeah, but I don't really see how like Christian turning on Luchasaurus and then Luchasaurus defending himself kind of makes Christian a babyface after all the dead dad jokes and like just being an overall awful human being for the last little while. So
yeah, but that's a wrestling trope in itself.
Yeah,
you could be the worst fucking person ever. You could take a chainsaw to some little kid at ringside.
Yeah,
but the second you turn on a heel and become a good guy, like all is forgiven.
Or it's like or Matt Hardy allegedly burned down Jeff Hardy's house and killed his dog. And it's like, he's my brother.
Matt, remember the time you burnt my house down? That was so funny.
Well, that was a real life thing turned into a storyline. So, yeah. But, yeah, like we said. That's wrestling.
Yeah.
So time will tell. Within the next, I don't know, we'll say 5 hours, we'll know.
we should know something. All I know, okay, we're watching at your place. We have a couple friends upstairs waiting for us and all that. Edge comes out. You're going to have 5 guys in this house going ballistic.
Yeah. Like, similarly to in 2020 when he came back at the Royal Rumble.
Well, yeah. We won't cry.
We won't cry this time. We'll just be like, yeah!
We won't cry and hug this time.
Yeah.
We won't stand up and, like, lose our goddamn minds.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Yep.
And then make fun of ourselves after, like, did we really just do that?
Hey, man, whatever. We're allowed to have emotions.
It's
we're
still
only
real
human after
it.
All.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, yeah. So time will tell whether Mr. Copeland is all elite within the next few hours.
And then we can have Adam Copeland versus Adam Page versus Adam Cole.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I didn't even
all
think
the Adams.
All the Adams.
Let's go, Adam.
Maybe he'll just be Copeland. I don't know.
I'm actually good with Adam Copeland.
Yeah, okay.
Like I think everyone. Hey, it doesn't have as much cachet as Edge, but I think he's one of those that don't need the WWF gimmick, like gimmick name at least.
Yeah. Well, no more rated R superstar.
Right. Right. And the only people watching wrestling now are wrestling fans. Mm-hmm. So, I don't think it's going to make a lick of difference. This
time. First shirt would be like Adam Copeland on the front, and on the back would be like Bringing an Edge or something.
Or instead of the rated R superstar, he'll be the TV-14 wrestling fiend. Or something. This is right off the top of my head.
And I was familiar with the name Copeland as a fan of the old rock group The Police before.
Stuart Copeland.
Yeah, before... You know,
before Edge was even in wrestling school. So
yeah, so I'm good with it.
Yeah, we shall see where this goes. So I obviously it won't be another CM Punk situation because Edge is actually liked by people in the back and has no controversy attached to his name whatsoever.
That's right. That's right. You never heard,
a bad word about Edge.
Shit talking about Edge, yeah.
Other than when he had that affair with his wife involving Matt Hardy and Lita.
Right.
But that's water under the bridge. And, things have been reconciled. Mistakes were made. They were all in their 20s at the time.
That's another thing.
Yeah, so.
Yeah.
Edge just comes out tonight with Lita.
No.
I know it would never happen, but.
At some point, though, since you kind of brought it up, it won't happen now. Because I think Lita's got a gig doing commentary at pay-per-views or whatever. Like
something like that.
She's some way, shape, or form still connected to the WWF.
Yeah, I think she's got a Legends contract, maybe. Similar to what Trish Stratus has.
That's up and she wants to move on, is this... Okay, signing Edge is a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, whoever can afford him. Okay. What about Lita? When that time comes, how much? Or eight? Okay, you can't call her Lita.
No, she'd be Amy Dumas.
Yeah,
be her real name.
Yeah.
Does she have the
name value?
The name value to break the bank? Like
I don't know because like a lot of casual fans don't really watch AEW, and like a lot of people who are watching. I don't know, like, because when she did her last stint earlier this year with WWE, wasn't exactly a big ratings improvement. So,
but it was no one's moving.
It was cool seeing her and all that, but being tag team champions with Becky, but I don't know.
Just like the Trish thing too. It's like when Raw was here and Trish was here. It's like we thought I'd never see Trish.
No, that's very true. Well,
and that'll be the last time.
Yeah,
it's just who knows? The 2 month run Cena's on right now, we'll never see it again.
No, that's
like
true.
As much as I can't stand John Cena, this is the last.
He's a lot more easily digestible now that he's not Super Cena. But
if you think about it, this is probably the last time we're gonna see him.
Probably. Okay. So, I guess enjoy? Question mark? While we can, but I don't know. He'll just be another Dwayne Johnson. He'll pop up. Here and there, and just like the Dwayne did a couple weeks ago on SmackDown on a random episode in Colorado. So we'll see where that goes, if that becomes anything or if that was just a one off. But
I'm liking Cena as the peacemaker. Anyways. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I have not watched that show. I probably should.
I haven't seen the show yet, but the DCEU movies I've seen.
Oh, that's like, part of the Suicide Squad.
Okay. This is great. It's the same thing with Batista.
Mm-hmm.
Have a great career.
Yeah.
You're fucking killing it with in Guardians of the Galaxy that
I still haven't seen the third one, but I know he's making a killing in Hollywood
it's fantastic.
He's fine. He's good.
Yeah, you go there and all ooh and ah at your movie, stay out of the fucking ring.
Yeah. John Cena's doing pretty well for himself in Hollywood too.
Stay out of the damn ring. I'm sorry. Out of these three guys, The Rock was the one that I enjoyed the most.
Okay.
If The Rock, I'm rocked out.
Yeah.
If The Rock never comes back, I until you said something just now, I had no idea that he was on SmackDown.
Yeah. Yeah. He just showed up on an episode of SmackDown like a couple weeks ago.
That pop was nuts.
It was.
If he never comes back again, okay.
He's guaranteed they're going to integrate him somehow into the Bloodline
story.
Into
Mania, yeah.
But we'll see. As that old saying goes in wrestling, when it comes to professional wrestling, never say never.
That's right.
So, Fair enough.
It's like when Undertaker retired the Hall of Fame speech and he was like, never say never.
Never
we were
say
all like,
never.
Oh, God.
We're
like,
just
no,
like, oh, please don't. Please don't. Please don't. Please don't.
Mark, you're done.
Yeah.
Didn't you leave your boots in the ring? That's a hint.
That's where it should have ended.
It should have, but we'll see. Anyway.
And then we don't anyway. Talk about that match with Oldberg.
Yeah. Moving on. Moving on.
Okay, if Edge was the one that captured all of the headlines and all that, Jade Cargill moving to the WWF has to be number two in terms mm-hmm. of...
They announced her signing, making it seem like a big deal. They had video of her walking up to the Performance Center in Florida, where NXT is filmed, and they train all their wrestlers.
Right.
There's video footage of her stepping into a WWE ring for the very first time. So you gotta admit that WWE are treating this like a big deal,
like it's something.
She's like in AEW, she was like basically learning as she went. Squashing jobbers or squashing mid-carders and jobbers,
right?
And had the streak, and then she came back, wrestled her last match against Chris Statlander on an episode of Rampage, which I thought was a little bit weird.
Yeah.
You'd think
that match wasn't bad either.
Yeah, you would think that like maybe Dynamite, maybe Collision, pay-per-view for the best example. Like tonight, maybe, or her contract would have already expired, but
right.
But this would have been the perfect show to do it.
Yeah, like if they could have given her like a week long extension or something. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Like, but it definitely does seem like she's getting the superstar big time treatment with WWE, announcing that she has signed and like all these little video clips of her on the social medias, just calling her by her real name, Jade Cargill. I don't know if that'll change by the time she hits the airwaves, right. But. Personally, I would just keep it. The name Jade Cargill sounds like a superstar's name as it is. Like
it does, but apparently didn't they announce that they copyrighted another name?
No, it's not for her.
It was for somebody else.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't remember who it was.
And then the hardcore Jade Cargill fans are pissed off. Fuck off.
There was hardcore Jade Cargill fans.
What the hell?
Yeah.
Holy shit!
But no, like.
It's like that wrestler. It's like that. You know, I've told stories on this podcast before about starting fights in wrestling pages because it's fun.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this one page, people were like, "Who should Jade Cargill first wrestle in WWE?" And I commented, "A trainer."
Yeah. There we are. Definitely.
Well, that was gonna be my next point, was that Jade Cargill was basically learning as she went mm-hmm. in AEW. Mm-hmm. They don't have the resources, like the training facilities that WWE has. So, like, they have the Nightmare Factory, I guess, and she was actually, to her credit, she was actually being trained by Bryan Danielson, and she was getting better. She's not, like, elite levels athlete.
No.
Like, by any means in the ring.
She is.
Hopefully, by the time she gets onto WWE's TV shows, she will have vastly improved. I'm hoping for, like, a Bianca Belair level, maybe.
Yeah.
If that's not too much to ask.
Like,
so.
At this point, keep Jade off TV for now until Bianca comes back from her time off.
Yeah.
And then just build up to WrestleMania next year and have Jade's first match at Mania with Bianca.
And it's no, like, it's pretty objective that Jade Cargill has that look of a superstar.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she looks like a star. She's built like a star. She talks like a star. She carries herself like a star. So she has all the potential in the world to be the next top woman's heel in the WWE.
Mm-hmm.
They just have to do it correctly. Mm-hmm. And I have all the faith in the world that they will do this properly under Triple H. But at the same time, Vince is still there. So yeah.
And if they're already giving her the world, mm-hmm. like you're saying with these vignettes, and they're giving her the princess treatment already and all that. And
but
it's like,
they have done that in the past with people. So, like, it's a lot of expectations. Mm-hmm. So, but I also hope for her sake that she's able to, like, learn the WWE style, for lack of a better term, and, like, is able to adapt to it and, like, learn how to put on a really good match with someone. And I'm just hoping that she gets put in feuds with people that she has good in-ring chemistry with, because that's another big factor in whether or not you'll come across good in the ring or not.
Mm-hmm.
But like I was saying,
we shall see. Time will tell. I think it's a can't lose situation, because if she does really well and she goes on to be a great a great in-ring performer, mm-hmm. then everyone wins. If she ends up being a fart in church and she tanks and the WWF 2 years from now, she's getting future endeavored, well, that's going to make a lot of people happy as well, because, you know,
a lot of people don't want her there in the first
place.
They
don't want her there in the first place, and then they can go on their into their groups and mm-hmm. Cargill blew it because she sucks. We knew that way back then.
Yeah, but no, I guess the next question is where does she show up first? Because it's been heavily suggested that she's just going to skip over NXT TV altogether. So is it going to be Raw or is it going to be SmackDown?
Have her take out Nia Jax and have Nia go away forever, please.
hopefully, yeah.
Well, yeah, let's.
I don't want to talk about Nia Jax, but yeah. The fact that they brought her back has upset me greatly. But I guarantee you that was not a Triple H decision.
No, that was 100% Vince.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah,
no doubt. Well, speaking of Vince and Triple H
and releases,
bringing people back. Let's talk about people they let go.
Yeah, that's kind of because. Okay, it's not even post. Okay. Did I miss something? I've kind of been out of it this past week. Did we have a WrestleMania? Last week there was no Mania, right?
Nope.
Okay, what's with all the fucking cuts then?
Well, guarantee it has something to do with the merger of UFC and WWE. Well, I'm not gonna. No, it's not speculation. It's fact.
It is. Like, they've merged with. Yeah. They've been bought out by. Endeavor,
yeah.
Which
so,
is now TKO
Media Group. Okay. So, like, yeah, now that the merger has been official as of, like, a couple weeks ago, that they are now under the same umbrella company, the UFC and the WWE, it's still weird to just think that.
Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, so that's when there was, like, over 100 people in backstage and office positions lost their jobs already. Mm-hmm. And then that's shortly thereafter. That's when the on-screen talent started getting released from their contracts.
And that's where we kind of come in, because we on programs like this, we always have that unfortunate. We have unfortunate jobs.
of talking about people getting
people
fired.
People that pass away, and when shit like this happens. So I believe you kind of have a list.
I do.
And we kind of want to just go through them and see. You know, our thoughts
so
on it.
There were 21 contracted wrestlers that were released from the WWE. Some of them were NXT people who weren't really on screen all that much. They were on the NXT's B show, Level Up, I think, but none of them really gained any, like, or a good portion of them, I should say, didn't really gain any on-screen reputation, or they weren't really household names, I should say. So we'll go through the list one by one and talk about them. First one was Mustafa Ali, who originally came in as part of the Cruiserweight Classic and then got signed to the main roster as part of the 205 Live, the Cruiserweight show.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, but then eventually he got moved over to SmackDown, and he was traded back and forth in the drafts for a little while between Raw and SmackDown. And then lately he ended up back on NXT because he ended up with free agent status because he wasn't drafted in the latest draft. But here's the thing. Ali had asked for his release a few times prior to this, even as far back as a couple years ago, and he kept getting rejected. But now he was on NXT TV every week, and he was even involved in a pretty major storyline involving the NXT North American title, to the point where at the NXT No Mercy, which happened last night as we speak, he was supposed to be in a match against Dominic Mysterio for the North American Championship. And then on September 21st, he put out a tweet saying that he is no longer with WWE.
Wow.
So, yeah.
And that was the first name that got released.
Yeah. At that point, we didn't know if this was just an isolated incident or whether this was the floodgates opening, and it turned out to be the latter. So,
do you think they were being petty enough that, well, you already wanted to leave
or are these people releasing them didn't even realize he was in a storyline?
Which is another problem in and of itself.
I saw, like, articles that Shawn Michaels was fucking hit.
I would be too if I was him. Like, he's got no hiring and firing power.
Yeah. Yeah, but, if you have a dude in the middle of a major storyline and you're just like, bye.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, oh, sorry, we had to cut this guy. And,
Yeah, okay, but, it was the same thing like Jim Cornette in OVW.
Mm-hmm.
And this was totally justified. He's told so many stories over the years about how the WWF would, we're going to send a guy down. They send a guy down. We want to see what he looks like bald. Shave his head. I'm in the middle of something here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just no thought as to what's going on with that person at the time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you want me to shave his head, give me some time so I can promote a hair versus hair match and I can sell some fucking tickets to it and all that. There are just some times when Jim Cornette's right.
Yeah.
And
as much as I don't like the guy's delivery on things a lot of the time, but he is factually correct about things.
And if Michaels is pissed about this, because the guy's in the middle of a big title angle and all that.
Yeah.
Deserves to be pissed.
But the thing about NXT compared to OVW is that NXT is on national television.
Yeah. Which, how much of a training development is this?
It's not really at this point.
Yeah, at this point, when you got it on national TV, it's a third brand.
Yeah. Even if it has a fraction of the audience, attendance, but still.
Right, still. For sure. Hey. So where do you think, where's the value in Mustafa Ali? Is there?
Impact. He would thrive the best in Impact.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, put him in the X division. He'll turn some heads for sure. Because this guy was in the cruiserweight division for the longest time in WWE. That went away. He was in a couple feuds involving the Intercontinental Championship. He pinned Daniel Bryan in his first match on SmackDown in a tag team match.
When Bryan was WWE champion.
Yeah. Yeah. And
he was also in Antifa, Retribution.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was the leader of Antifa. That went nowhere. He was the SmackDown hacker. That went nowhere.
Yeah.
And, he was in a match with Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship. And I was like, oh, good for him. And then he went down to NXT and he got involved in the North American title. I'm like, okay, well, this seems perfect for him. And it's like, oh, bye.
See ya.
So,
see ya.
I don't know. I think I don't really see a spot for him in AEW currently.
No. Okay.
But
AEW has 1,000 fucking roster.
Yeah, I know. It's a little bit insane. Even though they just got another 2-hour show, it's still having trouble finding time for everybody. But if not Impact, New Japan maybe. I can see him doing well there as well.
Mustafa
Ali versus Will Ospreay.
That'd be nuts. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That'd be very good.
Yeah. I don't really keep up with the Impact product nowadays, I will admit, so I don't really know who's who and where's where. But he might be a good X Division champion. I could see him being a good Impact world champion. So if Rich Swann can do it, so can Mustafa Ali.
Yeah,
so,
true enough. Okay, what do we have?
Next was Rick Boogs, formerly known as Eric Bugenheim. I think that was his name in NXT.
And they
just shortened it to Rick Boogs.
Boogs, okay.
This guy's claim to fame was that he would play electric guitar. And he, for a little while, when he got to the main roster, he was playing Shinsuke Nakamura to the ring. He would actually introduce Shinsuke Nakamura on the microphone, too. And he would have His delivery, the fans really liked his delivery, and they liked the way he would announce Shinsuke on the mic. He also had a pretty awesome look until he came back from his or until they went and changed it and made him a generic carbon copy.
But unfortunately, his WrestleMania moment is tearing his ACL.
Was it his ACL?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's because he tried to lift both Usos at the same time.
Yep.
But yeah,
his knee went out.
Yeah. But yeah, his delivery.
First match to poor guy.
His delivery though, with how he would introduce Nakamura, was he's like, my name's Rick Boogs.
Yep.
Yeah, and then would go on to say all the great things about Shinsuke, and as far as in ring work goes, he didn't really excel there. He was more of a microphone guy, more of a showman. But not saying he couldn't go in the ring. But after they made him cut his hair and made him wear just a generic singlet, they kind of stripped away some of what made him special. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Where can he go? Impact, probably, I'd say. Mm-hmm. It's like,
yeah, Impact.
That's all I can really see. Maybe he'll show up in MLW. I really don't know. But yeah, I cannot see him showing up in AEW or New Japan, to be perfectly honest with you. So just doesn't have that in-ring ability. That's
another thing for Mustafa, since GCW has those lucha guys coming in all the time. Mustafa.
Oh yeah, maybe.
Mustafa versus Vikingo. Mm. Oh, that'd be good. Oh
yeah, okay.
That'd be very good.
Well, keep an eye on that.
AAA.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep an eye out on that. Number three was Aaliyah. She's been with the company since 2015.
Ooh, shit. That's Snuka's daughter, right?
No.
Tamina.
That's Tamina.
No.
Well, who is Aaliyah?
Aaliyah is just some Canadian girl who got signed to NXT, was there forever, and then got called up to Raw or SmackDown. I forget which one, way too soon. Okay. She won the women's tag team titles with Raquel Rodriguez, got injured, dropped the titles to Damage Control, and then she's been cleared to come back for quite a while now, and then just wasn't, and they let her go. Because a lot of people on this list were released because they were guys that were making main roster money, but they weren't getting utilized. So they decided it was more of a cost. It was a cost-cutting thing, for sure, as well. These things always are. But
right.
Aaliyah especially, they had nothing for her, and they weren't using her, even though she was cleared to come back for quite a while. So that's, yeah, unfortunately, they had to cut her.
Give her a last name and Impact.
Yeah. That's where I can see her going.
Well, yeah, Aaliyah, fill in the blank here and send her, you know, they should... Impact should talk to her.
Yeah, for sure.
That might be a good fit in the knockouts division.
And when it comes to American wrestling, I would say I've said this before in the past. Impact has, like, from what I've observed, the best women's division in American wrestling.
It really is. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I 100% agreed.
But yeah, another one I can't see showing up in AEW. And if she does, she's just going to be on Rampage and thrown into a random tag team or stable,
being jobbed out to Britt Baker.
Essentially, yes, because she didn't really have that much star power in WWE as it was, and not really a fan favorite. So I'm not trying to diss on her or anything. I'm just saying factual
things. Yeah.
But yeah, well, I hope she ends up somewhere where she thrives, and I think Impact would probably be the best place for her. So, moving on. Next was Elias, or Elias Sampson, as he was known.
This was surprising. Yeah. Like, out of all of them, this is the one. It's like, weren't they giving him a push? Weren't they doing?
He kind of had like stop start pushes for the longest time going, and like he was on NXT for a little while, but his gimmick never really took off there. And then he got moved to the main roster, and it caught on. The whole, what does WWE stand for? Walk with Elias thing. Yeah.
Holy shit. Yeah. Like, this is lightning in a bottle.
Yeah. Like, they had so many opportunities where they could have given him, like, the Intercontinental Championship or the United States Championship.
Yeah, they gave him the 24-7.
They gave him the 24-7 Championship.
Mm, that's nothing.
Yeah.
Like,
it's a nothing. It's a joke belt. Mm. And it always will be. But, yeah, like, he had a really great gimmick, and, like, with him playing his guitar in the middle of the ring, like, when he was a heel, he would always like start playing songs, dissing the crowd, and they'd all just start booing. Of course, got to sing a song about how the local sports team sucks.
Right.
Yeah. And about how you can't wait to leave that town after you're done. And I liked Elias, but it seemed like under the Triple H regime, he kind of floundered a bit. So Triple H didn't really have all that much for him. He wasn't part of Triple H's vision. And apparently, Elias was like pitching ideas to creative for himself like a week before he got released.
Wow.
And it just nothing happened from it. So.
They also released his brother Ezekiel.
Oh no. Yeah. Oh no.
Holy shit.
I will admit that had some comedic value to it, especially
when he was in the hospital.
When he was in the hospital and like surrounded by his family, and it's all just Elias dressed up as different people.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
That was great.
Or what was his third brother's name? Or is the other brother's name was like Elrond or something? Yeah.
That was was good.
Yeah, it was like the Nutty Professor situation.
Kevin Owens.
Yeah.
You're Elias. Yeah. No.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I'm not Elias. It's like, no, you are. I can see it in your eyes.
It was, and then Elias was like, after the tweet he made when he got released, I was Ezekiel the whole time.
Yeah, I have a confession to make.
It would have been great, though, if Owens tweeted, like, I knew it!
I knew it all!
Since the only people watching wrestling now are wrestling fans, he's got a spot in AEW. Like,
yeah.
Just take him, pick up where he left off. Yeah, you can't call him Elias, give him another cool name, and just let him do what he did in the WWF. And
he was called the Drifter in NXT because he was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, you can't use that,
but something to that effect.
Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Just give him another name, and
could you imagine
do that gimmick
when MJF turns heel again? Because it'll happen.
Oh yeah, of course.
Have MJF team with Elias, or whatever.
Yeah,
his
maybe
name will be.
He'll probably join up with Jeff Jarrett. I don't know.
Yeah.
Guitars, you know?
That's a little
Team
too
guitar.
On, that's a little too on the nose.
Maybe,
but
I don't know. We'll see what happens. Maybe AEW would be best for him. But
Impact would be cool for him.
Maybe. I think that's a bit too small of a crowd.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to break the bank for him.
No.
Because he's not moving the needle in Impact.
No.
He's not moving the needle anywhere, but he's going to be well received in AEW.
Yeah, like the fans liked him, so
yeah,
they were into his gimmick. But yeah, again, hope he ends up somewhere and thrives.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe who knows? Maybe he could have a good career as a musician because he's a legit guitar player
okay,
and he can sing. So we'll see what happens there. So he has an album out. So
really,
yeah, he does.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
It's on.
The pre-show starting at 6:30. My ass.
Everyone seemed to know this, but me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next on the list was Riddick Moss. He kind of floundered for a little bit on the main roster. Like I can't remember if he was he a part? No, I can't remember what he was doing before he was Baron Corbin's lackey or Happy Corbin's lackey.
I don't remember either.
Because Riddick, I think he was around on, or he was part of the 24/7 scene for a little while. He was basically hung out on Main Event.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was on NXT for a cup of coffee, and then they called him up a bit too early.
Yep.
And then after he broke away from Corbin, they just kind of gave him nothing to really
work with.
They had
that feud with Corbin. It was good.
Yeah, he had a really great match with Corbin, but
and then that was like the last time he was on TV.
Well, no, he was Madcap Moss at that time, and then eventually he went back to being Riddick Moss, and then they seem to be starting a storyline where like Emma was like influencing him to like be more like unapologetic and just go out there and take what's his, but that just kind of seemed to then eventually both of them were just off TV. And nothing really came of it.
Pretty much anything Emma tells me to do, I would be doing.
Yeah. There you go.
Like that's.
But, as far as he goes, I don't know if he's probably another Impact.
Yeah.
I couldn't even begin. I have really no knowledge of this guy.
No. He used to be a football player, so. I don't know if
okay.
If he continue, maybe I can see him going with Impact. If not Impact, then MLW. That's really the only two places I could see.
Yeah,
him
see, that's
up.
I would even though I might not be, you know, I might not have a dog in a lot of these races and all this because I might not really be too familiar with a lot of them. Impact, MLW, it wouldn't hurt.
Yeah,
it wouldn't
no.
to have some of these ex WWF guys there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so yeah. That would be more beneficial to the league than the guy. To
we're not even factoring in NWA into any of these anymore. I guess
which is
NWA is not what it was. So
yeah, we'll even just a year ago, it's not what it was. But we're not going to talk about that because you're going to listen to me piss and moan and scream and throw myself on the floor for an hour or so.
Mm-hmm.
Next.
Moving along. Moving along was next on the list was Top Dollar. He was a part of the stable called Hit Row, the rap group that Swerve Strickland used to be in.
Oh, okay.
And then I think it was in 2021, that entire group got released from WWE.
Oh, yeah,
and
I remember that.
And then Swerve ended up signing with AEW, and then when Triple H took over again, the remaining members of Hit Row came back, and they kind of, I don't know, did nothing with them. Like, Top Dollar ended up being a laughingstock after he botched that one move, and then Michael Cole just kept making fun of him endlessly on commentary.
The best feud was him and Michael Cole.
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. Well, there was even that meme that said, nobody, Michael Cole. Fuck Top Dollar.
There's only one Top Dollar in my books.
Okay.
That's the villain in the Crow movie.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. That's... No, this is Top Dollar.
Oh, well,
yeah. D-O-L-L-A.
Okay.
Top Dollar.
I'm not on the hip lingo. Okay.
That's fine. But
she's thirsty. Fucking buy her a drink then. Jesus Christ.
but
get her some water.
Yeah.
But the other two remaining members of Hit Row, B-Fab and Ashante the Adonis, remain on the top dollar
B-Fab.
Swerve and okay. Ashante the Adonis.
Okay.
Yeah. And they were a rap group.
Yeah.
Yep. Can you guess what? Anyway, we'll see what happens with Ashante and B-Fab. But as of right now, they're still on the roster. They were even on SmackDown this past week.
Yep.
Okay.
So, yeah. But even though it was just in a beatdown angle where Jimmy Uso beat him down in the back and B-Fab was just like, stop it. Get out of here. You know, because that always works.
Yeah.
But
oh, come on, guys.
Top Dollar's
stop. He's already dead.
He's already dead.
I can't see Top Dollar showing up anywhere else, to be honest with you. He already has a job, kind of like...
Well, he's a rapper.
I don't know if he actually is a rapper. Maybe. I think that was his gimmick, and it wasn't a very good one, but...
Well, all his AI in music these days.
Who knows, but he was on that... He got into WWE at first because he was on that show... what the hell was the name of the show, Dustin, where like they were trying to find...
Oh, shit.
They try to find like old like pieces of ring gear or like items that superstars have worn like in the past. I don't remember the name of the show, but it was on A&E, and he was one of the guys who ran a pawn shop that was carrying a lot of these items.
Oh,
and he knew like the history about him. His real name is AJ Francis, and that's obviously who he was on these shows. So
hopefully, WWE like something treasure.
Hidden treasures,
yeah.
There we are.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was on that show for a little while, and that's how he got into WWE in the first place.
That's
so
the best thing he's ever done.
Hopefully he still has that pawn shop, and he's able to run it. So, yeah. Nevertheless, I'm not going to, like, he wasn't my favorite wrestler. I just hope he does well in life, like I do with all these guys.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably not a horrible person. No. Like, so,
sure, he's a nice guy. I'll have a beer with him.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, nevertheless, I hope his pawn shop does well.
Does well. So,
yeah.
I hope it brings in all the top dollars.
Yep. And number seven on the dead list joke, was yeah.
Let's do for the next one. We might as well do Matt Riddick's wife.
Oh, Emma.
Emma.
Yeah. Or yeah, Tennille Dashwood. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, she was brought back in 2022 again, along with a lot of other people. And yeah, like I mentioned with Riddick Moss's release, didn't really go anywhere with any of her. She didn't really have any major storylines. They had their thing going with their storyline on SmackDown that never really happened. So, like, yeah, it was just like a nothing return when it came.
It's like husband and wife on the same day.
Yep.
Wow.
The saddest thing about her getting released was that Elimination Chamber was announced that it was in Perth, Australia, which is where she's from. She shares it on Twitter that she's so excited for a major pay-per-view like that to be in Australia. And then, like an hour later, she retweeted it saying, oh, never mind. I just got fired.
Wow.
Yeah.
Impact.
Back to Impact.
I want Tennille Dashwood back in Impact. She was fantastic.
I think she was on AEW for a little bit when Impact and AEW were doing their agreement.
They had the momentary working agreement.
Yeah, yeah, but... We'll see. I can see her showing up in AEW as well.
Yeah.
But again, Well, time will
tell. I want an Impact. I'll resubscribe to the Fight Network.
Oh, you will? Okay.
Yeah, like I had that as part of my cable package, and then there was a configuration mix-up.
Oh, okay.
And I lost that channel, and I just haven't resubscribed it, because I've kind of been out of it with the Impact myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, when they have their house show pay-per-view, like their Victory Road and all that, okay, when I stumble home, it's $10. I don't really know what's going on, but I'll order it. Mm-hmm. Okay. And I get the pay-per-views as well, but I don't really know what's going on in all these. So
no,
you bring
Dashwood
back, and I'll re-up.
That's your selling factor for Impact, is Tennille
Dashwood.
Well,
it's not just her. That just made me think, like, if
she went back there initially, like after she got released from WWE back in like 2001, I think it was. Mm-hmm. Or 2017, excuse me.
Yeah,
sorry,
a little later.
Yeah, yeah. She was released in 2017 and then went back to Impact for like years, and then had a good run with the Women's Championship,
it was
the Knockouts Championship. Yeah,
it was one of the best reasons to tune into wrestling Thursday nights.
Yeah, like she had a really good feud with was it Deonna Purrazzo, or am I thinking of someone else?
Jordynne Grace.
Yeah. Okay. And just everyone, like, mm-hmm. that was when the. Well, and it still is. It's thriving. The women's division is fantastic.
People can learn a few things from Scott D'Amore when it comes to booking women's wrestling. Okay,
he can.
Yeah.
Tony Khan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Triple H. Shawn Michaels. Yeah. Anyway, moving on. The next on our list was Shelton Benjamin, a name that's been in WWE. For
plus years.
Yeah, it says here he started with WWE, and his first run with WWE was in 2002 to 2010. Then he was let go, went around the indies for a little bit, and and came back in 2017. Kind of was up and down. I can't remember if he won tag team gold again. I want to say he did with Chad Gable, but that may have been a dusty finish. Where they won, they won, but they didn't win.
Right.
But
yeah, I can't remember.
Yeah, and then he won the... Oh, no, he was Raw Tag Team Champions with Cedric Alexander when they were part of Hurt Business.
The Hurt Thing?
Yeah, the Hurt Business.
The Hurt Thing.
The Hurt Thing, yeah. The Business Thing. But that was a good stable that didn't get enough time, I thought. But they're trying to start it up again with Street Profits and Bobby Lashley. But I thought the initial one with MVP and Bobby Lashley and... Cedric and Shelton was fucking awesome.
Yeah,
like,
fair enough.
But they just didn't push it to that level like they have.
And it only lasted like 3 months.
Yeah, it was a little longer than that. Yeah. I think it was like 6, but
still,
if they could have like pushed it to the same level that like Judgment Day are being pushed right now, I feel that stable could have done something really awesome. And hopefully, now that they're trying it again with the Street Profits, hopefully that actually goes somewhere. Mm-hmm. Seems like it is. They're actually getting better storylines, I feel.
They should have done so much more with Shelton.
Yeah, well, like, even when he was younger, they never really... They gave him... The biggest rub that he got, I think, was on Monday Night Raw when he beat Triple H clean.
Yeah.
In that one match. And that was that was awesome for him, especially around that time, like in 2004.
Or wasn't it that Intercontinental title win from Jericho where...
Yeah.
Jericho didn't tell him he was winning the belt?
Yeah, because that was part of that Taboo Tuesday... Yeah. Thing where like they had the polls to select your opponent, mm-hmm. which was apparently was legitimate. I thought it was all fixed, mm-hmm. but
just like do the T-bone off the top, okay, and then Jericho just was like,
or they were structured in such a way where it was like it was just like people were like forced to select the one that they wanted. It's like, do you want to see these guys in a chairs match, a steel chain match, or a ladder, whatever? It's like, well, obviously we're gonna pick this one, But yeah, his Intercontinental Championship run was really good, mm-hmm. when he had that the gold standard gimmick where he dyed his hair gold and wore gold outfits and all that. That was
wow.
And he was a part of him and Charlie Haas were the world's greatest tag team. Yeah.
That's what I will forever and a day remember Shelton Benjamin
the
most for is that team with Haas.
Yeah.
Because it almost feels like, okay, we have this guy. We have this guy. What do we do? Well, let's put them together.
Well, they were before they were the world's greatest tag team. They were in Team Angle together, and they were like that. That was just what they were called, Team Angle. It was Kurt Angle, Haas, and Benjamin, And then, yeah, Kurt Angle was WWE champion at the time, and then Haas and Benjamin were the SmackDown Tag Team champions. Uh-huh. So they were just one of those stables that, like, dominated, and they were just all really, really good wrestlers.
Like I said, it kind of seems like maybe they just kind of threw them together.
Yeah.
You wouldn't have noticed that, though.
They had insanely good chemistry.
Oh, it was fantastic.
Yeah, and then after they broke away from Angle, they became the world's greatest tag team, won more tag team gold on SmackDown. And then Benjamin got drafted to Raw.
We're on to a good thing here. We better fuck it up.
Yeah. But then Benjamin ended up doing some pretty good things with the Intercontinental title, like I said, and his match with Triple H. But never really sniffed the World Heavyweight Championship anywhere.
Okay. He was in, like, every Money in the Bank match known to man and lost the ball. It's like...
Yeah, I never won the Money in the Bank. Never
Solo,
won the Royal
he
Rumble.
Was a good hand, they say.
Yeah, of course. And then Charlie Haas just went on to do... nothing really in WWE and ended up on the being future endeavored, but
he came back to Impact, had like two matches, and then he's gone again.
But as far as Benjamin's future, I don't know, he's getting up there in years. It's like maybe WWE will rehire him as a producer because he's a good mind. Maybe he'll be a trainer for AEW,
Impact. Yeah.
I can't really see him. Maybe Impact will give him a storyline where he can finally win the big one and win the world championship, you know, as they've done with several other people who never got that WWE brass ring, as Vince likes to call it.
Like they did with Eric Young the night after Brian won the title.
Yeah, exactly.
And then the Thursday on Impact, Eric Young won the big one.
Mm-hmm.
You're just like, little guy winning belt. Ha!
Yeah, little guy that the fans love. It's like, no, this was the plan all along. But I don't know. Maybe Shelton will have another, like, one last run, show up maybe in the G1 Climax tournament in New Japan.
That's an idea.
Yeah. Maybe not get to the finals. I don't know. Maybe stick around, have a good few feuds with some younger guys in New Japan. I'd love to see...
Give him the rub. Yeah.
I'd love to see... Shelton Benjamin versus Will Ospreay, just to say that it happened. Like, yeah. But I don't really see him, like, signing a new contract and being, like, the next big, like, mainstay guy, like, the face of the company, I should say. Like,
even in Impact or Ring of Honor and all that, Solo, he's going to be a good hand.
Yeah. Well, we haven't even factored in Ring of Honor into any of this.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
But
we kind of think it's
all AEW now. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But again, like, he would have an excellent career in wrestling still as, like, a good mind, like a guy.
Good trainer, good booker.
A trainer, producer, whatever you want to call him.
He's already had
a pretty great career as it is, even though he has not gotten the big one. But. That happens with a lot of the greats.
Mm-hmm.
Now on to the most surprising one of this entire thing. Dolph Ziggler. He's been with the WWE since 2004.
He signed his first
developmental contract. He has been one of their go-to guys. For the last few years, he's kind of been like their break glass in case of emergency type guy.
Right.
It's like, oh, we need the champion to feud with this guy. But
get him
we need
there.
Dolph to get him over.
Yeah.
Yeah. He started off on the main roster as a caddy for Chavo Guerrero when he was doing that Kerwin White gimmick, which I'm sure we would all love to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Chavo Guerrero was Kerwin White.
Yes.
Yeah, you forgot about that, didn't you?
Oh, gracious to hell.
Yeah.
Dude, I liked you at one time. And then he reminded me of that.
Kerwin White. Fuck. Well, yeah. And then
I'm not going to say his catchphrase because...
It's very Trump-esque. Kerwin White's... Yeah, Dolph Ziggler was Kerwin White's caddy. After Eddie Guerrero passed away, they rightfully went, okay, maybe we won't do this anymore.
You can be Chavo again.
Yeah.
They just had to
let his black hair grow back in.
I did see an interview with Chavo where I think it was Chris Van Vliet when they were saying, did you want to go further with the Kerwin character? And Chavo's like, I had a lot of ideas.
Oh.
It would have gone a lot further if Eddie didn't go.
Oh, I'm sure it would have. But whatever. And then after that, After that all happened, Dolph became a member of the Spirit Squad. You know, those male cheerleaders.
Jesus Christ, yeah. Yes.
They won the Raw Tag Team titles, and I think they freebirded them between five guys. They feuded with DX, and then they were sent away. Like, the Spirit Squad officially ended when DX loaded them into a shipping crate and slapped a sticker on and said, like, return to OVW. And then Dolph was the only one out of all those guys that really had a good main roster run.
Because, like, the only one who came back from that Spirit Squad 2 thing was Kenny Dykstra.
Yeah, that's true.
He was there for, like, two more years, and then he vanished.
Yeah, he's a producer in WWE now.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
his leg drop was sick.
Yeah, it was. But when it comes to Dolph, though, he had many runs as Intercontinental Champion, yep. United States Champion. He was 2-time World Heavyweight.
Yeah.
Yes, but the first time he won the World Heavyweight title, it was awarded to him by Vicky Guerrero, and then Edge beat him for it like 10 minutes later. And then his second one was when he won Money in the Bank and then took his time. He
cashed in at Madison Square Garden, right?
Was it Madison Square Garden?
I don't know. But he cashed in on a piece of shit.
Yeah, he cashed in on Alberto Del Rio. So,
yeah,
you know, all good. All good.
That pop was good, too.
Yeah. And that's when he was getting insane pops, too. Like, mm-hmm. eventually people took notice and thought, hey, this guy's really good, goofy name aside. they started taking note that this guy, and people were calling him, like, this guy is the next Shawn Michaels. Like, why aren't WWE utilizing this guy to their fullest potential?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, around 2015, he was mega popular, getting just insane pops, but they just never capitalized on it fully.
And the way he bumps, it seems like everything is killing him.
Oh, he was one of the best sellers in the business. He was like 90s Shawn Michaels level of good.
Yeah, Kurt Henning.
Yeah, that's, yeah, you him know, too. And then, yeah. But he had the look, he had the skills, he had his mic skills were really good too, like not the best, but whatever. He was still good enough his best match ever in WWE was in 2016 against The Miz for the Intercontinental Championship. That match at No Mercy. That was
that ladder match, right?
No, it was a career versus title match.
Right.
Yeah, it was if Dolph Ziggler lost, he would quit WWE, but if The Miz lost, he would lose the Intercontinental Championship. And my God, that match, they played it, coincidentally enough, they played it the other day on the network.
Yeah.
Because they're just hyping up NXT No Mercy, so they're just playing a bunch of past No Mercies. But, you know, the timing of Dolph getting released and playing this match seemed a little odd. But
That's what they usually do when they release someone.
Yeah, I turned on the network. And yeah, sure enough, that match was just getting started, and I'm just like, okay, I'm just gonna watch this before I go onto YouTube like I was planning.
I got half an hour to go. Yeah.
And it was an absolutely insane match. The pop that he got when he won, like, everyone was so happy that he was like doing that whole thing, like walking around the ring, just like hugging fans and holding up the belt, and yeah, and even JBL said like that was. Honestly, Dolph Ziggler's greatest performance I've ever seen, and not one to agree with JBL on a lot of things, Jesus but I will Christ. Agree with him on that.
His ladder match with Harper was great too.
Oh yeah, like he's had so many amazing moments in the company, but then like in the last few years, they kind of just used him as like someone else needs to feud with someone that they're gonna beat. It all kind of started in 2017 when Shinsuke Nakamura came up to the main roster.
Yeah.
Dolph Ziggler was the first guy that that they fed him.
Shit, Billy Bob got hurt. Dolph.
Dolph, yeah. Yeah, and like he had feuds for the WWE Championship after that, but never again after the World Heavyweight title reclaimed world title gold. He was just kind of in the mid-card or in tag team title scene for a little while. Unless you count the NXT Championship. He won that a couple years ago. Right. But other than that, there's a couple more NXT names, and
I don't recognize.
Yeah, there's Dabba Kato. He was a couple different characters.
Oh, yeah, Commander Aziz.
He was Dabba Kato, and he was also Boba Tunde.
Yeah.
Never really did much with him, like as far as like being a good...
Never heard of any of
those. Like, well, when he was Commander Aziz, he was the basically the manager of Apollo Crews when he was doing that whole Nigerian prince gimmick. Yeah, but yeah, that... Other than that, he didn't really do a whole lot with it.
I sent some money to that guy, and still haven't heard back from that fucker.
What? No, didn't he say he wanted to give you money? He's like, I have all these riches that I want to share.
Yeah, but
everyone.
I need you to send me some money to get it out of the bank.
I just need to send you your credit card information.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Still haven't heard back from that fucker.
Yeah. Yep. Okay.
Fuck.
Next, Dana Brooke.
Oh yeah.
So many start stops with her too.
Yeah.
Like she's just, I don't know. Like she had like the look and the physical capability, but nothing ever really clicked with her.
I'm probably thinking of the wrong person, but wasn't she the one the boogeyman ate the thing off her face?
No, that was Jillian Hall.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
She's been long gone.
Jesus Christ.
But Dana Brooke, yeah, she for a
they look the same.
For the longest time, yeah.
You know those white women.
Yeah,
they
those white blondes. But, yeah, for the longest time, she was Charlotte Flair's prodigy or whatever on the main roster, but then broke off, did things by herself. Nothing ever really happened with her, and she was 24/7 champion for a little bit.
Oh, I forgot that.
She was the last or the second last 24/7 champion because then Nikki Cross beat her for it and then binned it, or you know, well, tried to
missed it.
Yeah, missed the bin.
She whiffed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Dana Brooke was pissed about that because she actually wanted to try and make the belt mean something.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, okay, I admire the spirit.
Yeah. Next
Impact,
up,
Impact. I'd like to see her in Impact.
Yeah, let's see what she can do in Impact. Yeah, that seems like it would be a better place for her. But the fans just never really clicked with her. It was saying, unfortunately. Next up, there was Mason Mansoor or Massey and Mansoir, the Maximum Male Models.
Oh yeah,
yeah. With Mansoor gone, I'm curious who WWE is going to break out for their Saudi Arabia pay per views to be the hometown boy.
Well, I guess
He had this rule where he couldn't lose because he always had to be booked to win in Saudi Arabia.
Well, that was kind of like the Great Khali in India.
Yeah.
Like they back when SmackDown was a taped show, they would film, if the Great Khali lost a match, they would have to film it twice, and they would have one where he would win, which they would show in India, and then one where he would lose where they'd show everywhere else. Yeah.
Wow, holy shit.
But yeah, with Mansoor, that was the part of the deal with the Saudi Arabian prince was that they needed him to win. As far as Mace goes, or what was his name? His real name was Dio Madden.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, how is Dio spelled?
D-E-O.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, not the way. No, I checked. I checked.
I got excited there for a sec.
Yeah. Don't worry, I checked. I almost had
a new favorite wrestler.
Yeah. But, I don't know where I can see these guys showing up. Mansoor, maybe an Impact. Maybe New Japan. He's got the skills for that. Mace, on the other hand, I don't know. I honestly don't know. Because he never really got to show much of his in-ring abilities, if he had any. Like, other than being a big guy who could choke slam when he was part of that Retribution stable.
Well, he's probably going to team up with Windu there in MLW.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. Okay. Maybe he will do something good there. Who knows? Oh, I see what you did there. That took me a second.
How is Matt not getting
this? That took
me
a second. Okay.
Why is he not kicking me out of his house for such a bad dad joke?
It took me a minute. I'm trying to focus on getting through these so we can get to our turnbuckle talk. Another one was Quincy Elliott. He was on NXT. Nothing really came of him. I remember he had some hype packages at the beginning, but he was the super diva. But yeah, nothing really came of his character. Shanky, who was tag team partners with Veer and was managed by Jinder Mahal. Again,
don't hinder the gender.
Yeah, again, that didn't go anywhere. And then Ulysses Leon, Kevin Ventura Cortez, Ikki Manjiro, who I can see him going back to Japan. Obviously,
Jacket Time.
Jacket Time, yes. We all know. Brooklyn Barlow, Bryson Montana. Yeah, they weren't really.
Bryson Montana.
Yeah.
Wow.
But then the final one, Matt Riddle.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's a bit of a.
I'm glad
I am going to miss him so much.
No, okay.
Like, I know he had his troubles outside of the ring, But you know what? His whole dumb stoner character, right. That it always made me smile. And his teaming with Randy Orton for RK-Bro.
I still love that Money in the Bank promo where the Raw opens and he's on top of one of the ladders.
He goes, he's like,
I'm so high right now.
Or just any of his, like, odd, like, any of his promos that he would do with Randy Orton when they weren't.
Hey, Randy.
Like, yeah, just anything involving RK-Bro always made me laugh. Because he was just, like, such a lovable idiot.
Or even when he would just randomly talk to someone backstage, and then he would turn, and then the camera would just go to him.
Yeah.
And then go back, and the dude would be gone, and yeah, he'd be like,
oh.
And then it would just end.
Yeah. Or I think one of my favorite things that he ever did that I laughed so hard at was when he was talking to MVP and he was trying to, like, talk to... He wanted to get a meeting with Bobby Lashley to talk about business opportunities. I had hoped that this was going to turn into, like, some vignette that was shot, like, similarly to, like, Dragon's Den or Shark Tank, where it was just Matt Riddle pitching business ideas to the Hurt Business.
That would have been great.
And, like, but it would be, like, every time he'd pitch an idea, he would just come in, like, dressed a little bit differently. Or he'd have, like, a fake mustache, but he'd still talk the same.
Yeah.
Like, bros, what's going on? It's like, they'd all be like, what the hell?
Okay, is Riddle his first real...
Yeah, his real name is Matt Riddle. Yeah.
Okay, so he owns that.
Yeah. Oh, hopefully.
Hopefully. And I always saw him like this. He was Jeff Spicoli in a wrestling ring.
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. Which, okay, yeah, I kind of get it. I didn't like the kicking off the shoes and then the fucking...
The doves, the CGI doves or whatever animals. But, there was a different animal every week. Yeah, but
that's not his call and all that. So I don't have a lot of negative stuff to say about him. Like,
he had his problems outside of the ring.
Yeah.
So as like everyone goes through shit in their life at some point. Mm-hmm, so I'm not gonna judge him for it, but we all make shitty decisions. We all go through shit. As long as he like gets, like, as long as he like does better and gets better and like learns from it and moves on and hopefully. I've heard that Impact was kicking tires at hiring him, and I feel he could probably move up there pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. But yeah. Like, I want to see a name, but someone that can go, someone that
can
wrestle in the ring to entertain me. I want to see in the NWA, Impact, MLW. I want to see some names go there that can go. Riddle can go. That the fact that that's his name and the WWF used it works to his advantage now. If Tony Khan doesn't break the bank for Matt Riddle, he's a moron.
True.
You know.
But on the other side, Tony Khan maybe doesn't want to be associated with the negativity.
What, people that do drugs?
Yeah, I guess not. or
people that don't do drugs.
Or it's more so the spousal controversies.
Oh,
that have come
okay.
Up, so.
There's that. Is there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but that's, in my opinion, that's nobody's business but theirs. And I
Riddle will start talking really fast because he's in Gorilla with Tony all day.
Yeah.
Hey, bro, guys, how's it going?
Or be like the opposite, like fast talking cokehead versus like the stoner guy. He's like, whoa, hey man, how's it going? Oh, you're a wizard.
There's
some potential. It's like the tortoise in the hare.
There we are.
But I wish Matt Riddle could have like done more. Like he had some really good stuff going on in WWE. Unfortunately, never like sniffed the world title scene, or he did, but he never won the big one. He had a few matches with Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship. Yeah, I don't know if he ever competed for the WWE Championship.
I don't think so. No. I think it was just Universal.
But he never won the IC belt. He won the tag team titles with Randy, and he was United States champion. And he was NXT tag team champion as well with Pete Dunne. But yeah, other than that, yeah, I could have seen him being an amazing IC champion if Gunther wasn't in the middle of his longest reign ever at the time. But but yeah, I'm going to miss him and Randy Orton's RK-Bro antics and like just his overall goofiness. Like when MVP told him that he wasn't his bro and his reaction was, aw. Like, you felt bad for him.
That
Okay. He just wants a buddy. And, then he found it in Randy.
Randy.
Yeah.
Well, like, even interviews with Randy, he's like, when he came in, fucking hated
him. Oh, yeah, of course. But then they warmed up to each other, and they became everyone's...
And Riddle showed Randy his favorite strain of weed, and...
Yeah, then the rest is history.
There we are. Because Riddle was an MMA fighter, right?
He was in UFC, yeah.
And then he got fired for weed.
Oh, yeah, he made that comment that said if he didn't smoke weed, he'd probably beat his three kids. Yeah. Just an offhand remark. And, of course, a magazine decides to publish that. Yeah, obviously that's going to make anyone look bad.
Yeah.
Nowadays, it's come back to haunt him. And...
Okay, so he says that and loses his job.
Yeah.
Tyrus says the same fucking thing, and he's given King's
exit.
Exit, yeah. God damn it. Come on, Pumpkins, do better.
Yeah, I know. But hey, whatever. At least Matt Riddle was never on Fox News.
Yeah, and at least Tyrus is gone, and we're going to see Riddle again, probably AEW.
Probably.
In about 91 days.
Like, he probably... I don't know, like, he probably was just a lapse of judgment. Kind of like when Sammy Guevara said he wanted to RAPE Sasha Banks.
Yeah, wow.
And, just being young and stupid, lapse in judgment, and, just saying something.
And that never would
occur
to me to say that.
Yeah. But. Well, hey, different people think. When you're famous, your perception of everything is very different.
Very different. Yeah. Very different. Well, we're going to switch gears here to tonight's Turnbuckle Talk. I think this is one that all three of us can kind of get behind because we kind of have our own ideas on exactly how this would work. Mm-hmm. Here in Winnipeg, we had the old Winnipeg Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the old barn. And because of that expression, I call every hockey rink a barn now.
The old Winnipeg Arena is a strip mall. It's a strip mall now.
It's a strip mall now, which is too bad. Like the Winnipeg Arena during the territory days with the AWA, it was one of those venues.
Uh-huh. I saw my first ever wrestling event at the Winnipeg Arena.
And then, once the AWA had its time and folded and sold out to the WWF and all that, the WWF came in.
Mm-hmm.
The old Winnipeg Arena, closed circuit TV. I watched WrestleMania 2 in there. Okay. They had some amazing territory matches. Most notably, the final before they kind of brought it back for a couple cards a couple years later. The final AWA match was Ric Flair defending the NWA title against Nick Bockwinkel.
Oh, jeez.
Like, Jesus. Okay, you know how people talk about Steamboat and Savage, Sting and Flair at the first Clash?
Yep.
If that match was on an NWA pay-per-view, Flair-Bockwinkel, we would be saying that match in the same breath as all of those. Unfortunately, it was just on a house show. But nonetheless... it's a venue that will forever go down in pro wrestling history.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because even after the AWA, the WWF did have a string of, I believe there was an In Your House card. Pay-per-view here. There was, Raw and SmackDowns.
Yep, Dustin and I just went to Raw like a couple months ago that was here.
Right,
so, yeah.
Right, and that was part of...
Or
the old barn legacy.
Yeah.
They had those.
Like in 2003, they had a Raw and SmackDown back-to-back.
Back-to-back,
In 2004, yeah.
Yeah, that was
TV tapings,
else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't go to those ones because I was unemployed at the time. Oh, I was only 17, and I didn't have a job, and my parents weren't going to give me money for anything wrestling related. So,
right.
Whoops.
Oopsie.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that kind of got me thinking. There are so many excellent, historic pro wrestling venues that are either gone or, it's on a bucket list to see today.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought maybe, it'd be a good time to sit down and kind of chat about some of these places. The places that we would have liked to have seen, or if they're still going today, which venue would we like to see? Mm-hmm. And who would we like to have seen in that venue or see today?
Yeah.
So, like, can you guys just, do you guys have any ideas that you kind of want to throw out there? Like, what famous venue you would... And it doesn't even have to be famous. Like, not every place can be Madison Square Garden, but when it comes to pro wrestling...
I would still like to see something happen at MSG, but, like, right. wrestling-wise, but it would more than likely just be a WWE event, like, yeah, just an episode of Raw or SmackDown, mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. that's, I'm pretty sure WWE has this, like, hold over the Madison Square Garden.
Oh, they do, and yeah. they have for many years.
Yeah. Well, they had that one ROH New Japan show yeah. there.
Oh, the first All In was Madison Square Garden.
No, that was the Sears Center in Chicago. All In.
Okay, well, what was the big Ring of Honor / oh, that was in Madison Square Garden?
That wasn't that Supercard of Honor?
Yeah.
Or, yeah, something like that. Yeah, I believe that's what it was. But,
that was like ROH versus New Japan.
Right.
Yeah, that was in 2018, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same year as All In, but All In was at the Sears Center, which is now called the Now Arena, in Chicago.
So, right, what a stupid name for a building.
The Now
Madison
Arena.
Madison Square Garden, too, is one of the few venues that still have their fucking name.
Yeah.
They haven't sold it out to some stupid corporation.
Or a phone company.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yeah. So
Preparation H Arena.
yeah, it's... Don't put it out there, dude. That's next.
That's from basketball, man. It's like arenas became like gunsmen of the Old West, selling their names to the highest. They're selling their services to the highest bidder.
Yep.
Madison Square Garden is a great choice. First WrestleMania. And Bruno sold that fucker out for years.
Oh,
month after
his name
month
was on the marquee
month.
For that place so many times.
mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it was. It's sure. insane. Like that guy's name has become like synonymous with Madison Square Garden.
Oh yeah,
like you can't think about Bruno Sammartino without thinking of MSG.
Right,
that's just
right.
It's not even an option.
send me 1976 Bruno versus Stan Hansen.
Mm-hmm.
Ah. That's wrestling for sure. For sure. What about you, dude? You got one you kind of want to?
I wouldn't mind going to MSG. Like,
oh, for sure.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the main one.
Yeah, I would like to be there to see like a Bruno match from back in the day. Mm. Like, even though the wrestling is not as like showy as it is now, right. which we've become accustomed to, but the crowd, my God.
Yeah.
As soon as like a drop toe hold was hit or like a monkey flip or something, the crowd would just go ballistic.
For that, yeah.
Yeah.
And now it's like a monkey flip and it's like, okay.
Yeah.
The only one that sells monkey flips good now is Dolph.
Dolph, yeah.
Because he was 450.
Well, like earlier today on the network, they played this old match between Koloff and Morales, I think. And like...
Ivan and Pedro.
Okay. Oh, Pedro, yeah. Ivan and Pedro, yeah. And... Like the commentary was dubbed over by Jim Ross because they probably didn't have the old commentary track.
Right.
So it was a little bit weird. Yeah. Seeing how insane the crowd went when this monkey flip happened. Uh-huh. I was just like, "Oh my." And like when the match ended and like it was like a bit of a controversial ending because both guys' shoulders were on the mat but Pedro kicked out and it was like and then, like, the crowd was just, like police had to surround the ringside area. And I'm just like, oh, my God, these people are going to tear this building apart. Uh-huh. And just, like, to be there for something like that would be
like
insane.
That.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
even though it's not even a real room anymore, like, even to be in a show at the Showboat there, which GCW had for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
The circus room
The circus room, yeah.
Now
yeah.
that's a mini golf course.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That would have been cool to be at.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I've seen it so many times on pay-per-view.
Like, to be there when Cardona won the title would have been fucking nuts.
True, yeah. How about you? Do you have anyone that you want
to
say?
Well, what you were saying about the crowd going crazy and the police having to come in, there's going to be a riot and all that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how many times in Memphis, the old Mid-South Coliseum had that.
Mm-hmm.
That type of nuclear fucking heat on an angle. And every Monday night, there was a card in Memphis. And a lot of times, if it's an angle that really, really got everyone pumped, it would sell out, you know? And because Lawler was just, he was the man in Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, like all throughout the old Mid-Southern or CWA, whatever you wanted to call it. What I really would have liked to have seen, you know, in that era was the Lawler, Austin Idol, Tommy Rich thing, where it was a cage match, hair versus title. And I think I spoke about this on the show before. Tommy Rich was under the ring, and he came in. They double-teamed Lawler and beat the holy hell out of him and shaved his head. And Paulie Dangerously, Paul Heyman now, was Austin's manager and all that. I don't know how that building survived. Because, the Riot Squad, like that is magic. You know, like you just, every once in a while you see some drunk dumbass, you know, tackle someone.
Yeah,
you
of
know,
course. As,
you know, but it just, you just don't get that any. You just don't get that kind of heat anymore between, like, not only that, but the Lawler-Kaufman thing.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't? I would love to have been there.
Of course.
For that. And like every Monday night for a good couple months.
Yeah.
And you see it on Letterman. And then
The mainstream week later, the mainstream appeal of it, too. Like, that's...
It was absolutely crazy.
Or even to go to a show at, well, I guess the ballroom. ECW Arena?
Oh, the ECW Arena. My God, yeah. I would have loved to have been there, but I don't think I would have liked being there. Because I heard that place was just an absolute...
Okay, when you say the ballroom,
The
ECW
Arena.
The ECW?
No, the Hammerstein Ballroom is in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, but the ECW Arena is in Philadelphia. Philly. In Philadelphia.
Right. Yes, different place. Okay, all of the crazy stuff, that I didn't... Yeah, I know it as the ECW Arena, which...
I don't know the official name of the building, but...
Oh, it's Building 204 now?
Okay.
Because MLW runs cards there now.
But when it was the ECW Arena...
Historic!
Apparently it was just the most dingiest, gross place you've ever seen in your entire life.
It was, but there was so much ECW history, and the fans were just... rabid.
Oh.
That was the closest thing to the old territory days that modern wrestling had. You know? And even then, they were definitely their own breed. Mm-hmm. You know, so, good choice. I would have loved to have. And fortunately, like I said, that building still is there.
Mm-hmm. Just used. Used differently.
It's just,
well, slightly.
So, definitely. Good choice. That's one I would... would definitely want to check out. Okay, you guys mentioned the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Mm-hmm.
It's still up.
Yep. The GCW had an event there that we all watched.
We did.
A couple
that
years
was,
ago.
Yeah, the world on GCW.
Yep.
That was absolutely fantastic.
It was such a fun show. Yeah. I wish
the main event wasn't like 2 minutes.
Yeah, I wish that my biggest wish was that that would have catapulted GCW into a more mainstream audience like people thought it would have.
Yeah.
Because it got a lot of coverage, but after that
Lauderdale did such a good job.
Yeah, but after that, like just they kind of just plateaued a little bit in popularity, if I did say so myself. Mm-hmm. Like I thought they were gonna be like the new ECW, but it's just kinda like you know.
It hasn't quite happened. I did my own research, as they say on the interweb. That world and GCW set the attendance record for the Hammerstein Ballroom.
Really?
And that's not just wrestling. They've had so many historic music concerts and plays and all that, like, all over the years. ROH had so, like, that was a mainstay place for them. They had so many Super Card of Honors and pay-per-views and... When TNA was really, really floundering, like just no one cared, no one paid attention. It was just they were just doing the shows at Disney. It just wasn't doing any business. You had to get out of Florida and go on tour, And when TNA went to Hammerstein and they packed it.
Yeah.
Like, okay, you were onto something here the night before in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. That place went nuts. People wanted to see TNA live.
Yep.
So you got to give the people what they want. And TNA didn't do that.
Nope, they just went back to the impact
they
zone.
They just went back, and it just didn't work.
Yeah. I'm going to do this quick. Wrestle Dream starts in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Okay, well.
A particular match I wish I could have seen in person in a particular arena, which, like, we're all familiar with the Owen Hart tribute match that Bret Hart and Chris Benoit had in WCW on Monday Nitro. It took place in Kansas City, which is understandable because that's where Owen Hart passed away, in that very same arena. Must have been a little weird for his brother, but... But if you wanted it to be the two Canadian boys tributing to another Canadian boy in a in an old-school Canadian arena, Maple Leaf Gardens.
There we are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine seeing that in Maple Leaf Gardens.
Because there is a lot of history there. And being Canada as well. No.
Yeah, I remember watching the very last hockey game in Maple Leaf Gardens. But before the Air Canada Center became, or the Scotiabank Arena, whatever the hell it's called now.
Yeah, I don't even know.
But yeah, I remember watching the very last hockey game in Maple Leaf Gardens, and it would have been cool to see. I remember seeing episodes of Nitro from Maple Leaf Gardens, but not involving that match.
I'm glad you mentioned the Hearts. I'm glad you mentioned Benoit and all that. The last maybe 5 years that I know for sure of the old Stampede days, their TVs, and they were hardly TVs because there was no...
Sorry again. Dad wants you to put AEW on.
Okay.
He'll live. He'll live.
He just texted me.
He'll live. Those last remaining years when we started getting Stampede up here every Saturday night as well. Like I said, they weren't even... They weren't job matches. They were actual cards, you know, superstar versus superstar at the old Victoria Pavilion in Calgary.
Mm.
And there's just so much. Okay, but the rise of Owen Hart, the rise of Chris Benoit, the Bad Company tag team, Bruce Hart and Brian Pillman. Like, Davey Boy Smith came back. You know, and there were so many, Phil LaFleur and Dan Crowfat. There were so many great wrestlers that should have been something outside of Canada, but for one reason or another, it just never happened. And there's just so many great memories of, you know, that time slot here in Winnipeg. Okay, at first it was AWA 7 o'clock or 6 o'clock Saturday night, right after Bugs Bunny. Okay, which those two were always connected for many years, and then couple years later, after the AWA is done, they start airing Stampede Saturday night, 6 o'clock, right after Bugs Bunny. it was a beautiful thing.
Yeah,
you know, and I didn't even have a touch of drink. I didn't touch a drink until after Stampede, after the AWA.
Like, nice.
You got to be sober for that stuff. So, yeah, I'll. Give me a night at the old Victoria Pavilion. And I know we're looking at the clock. Wrestle Dream is started now. So okay, we're going to make our way upstairs. We would be remiss if I at least didn't mention the old Sportatorium in Dallas, Texas, when World Class was at its height.
Oh yeah,
particularly the Von Erich Freebird thing, because that was the angle that really, you know, that really solidified World Class as exactly what it was. And like, the Von Erichs could do no wrong. You know, they could have shot a baby on the steps of a church, and they still would have been super over. And the Freebirds were the perfect foil for them as well. And yeah, give me Friday night in the Sportatorium, Freebirds versus the Von Erichs, and not to mention the undercard leading up to that would have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, would have been.
Yeah, but like we said, it is that time because I know everyone else is, you know, sitting down to watch Wrestle Dream right now.
We're about to join you. Don't worry.
we're making our way. So we're going to bring this crazy train in to the station. How can people get a hold of us?
They can get a hold of us on Instagram at Wrestling Night in Canada or on Facebook at facebook.com/WrestlingNightInCanada.
And, of course, Wrestling Night in Canada is a proud members of the Shining Wizards Network, shiningwizardsnetwork.com. If you haven't had enough of your cool Uncle Snowy's yammering and all that, you might want to check out Radioactive Metal, where I sit down with my cool co-host Aaron, and we talk everything that's going on in the wonderful world of pro wrestling. In the meantime...
Or you mean heavy metal.
Yeah, in the heavy metal, yes.
Okay. You owe some beer.
In the meantime and in between time, that's it. This has been another exciting episode of Wrestling Night in Canada. I'm Snowy White.
I'm Matt Copper.
I'm Dustin Maruka.
Signing off.
And we're from Winnipeg, you idiots.